Happier people do better at school and work. They're more likely to graduate from university. They're more likely to get hired and promoted. And they have a higher income. So says Dr. Sarah Rasmi, psychologist and professor at the UAE University in Al Ain. She's with us in the studio this morning, which of course is a happy start to the day for the Business Breakfast. Anyway, good morning to you, Sarah. Thanks for coming in. Surely all of those things I just mentioned, graduation, promotions, higher income, come from hard work and inherited intelligence, not happiness.
Well, definitely hard work and inherited intelligence are not going to hurt. They're going to help. But being happy makes you more optimistic about your skills. It makes you believe in yourself more. You have higher self-esteem. It also means that you're less likely to be set back by failure, because that's what a lot of people struggle with. They try to do something, they fail, and then they have a lot of self-doubt, a lot of negative self-talk, and then they don't try again, and they lose that opportunity to actually achieve their goals and succeed.
You say that happier people have higher self-esteem. I would have thought it was the other way around, that people with high self-esteem were happier.
Well, this is a correlational relationship. So we know that people who have higher self-esteem are happier, and people who are happier have higher self-esteem. It's a question of the chicken and the egg. Which one came first? We know that the two of them do go together, though.
I mean, happier bosses have happier employees, the survey says. Mm-hmm. Surely pay and working conditions outstrip whether your boss is happy or not. I mean, he or she may mm-hmm. be happy because they're not paying you very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are a lot of different factors that go into everything that involves psychology and individual health and well-being. But definitely we see time and time again that if you have a happier boss, you have happier work conditions, you're more likely to be happy at the job, and you're more likely to succeed individually, and then the organization is more likely to succeed as well. So it's one of many, many factors.
So the obvious conclusion is that we all just need to be happier.
Absolutely.
But but that's easier said than done.
Definitely.
And for some more than others. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if we're not, let's not talk about the sort of the clinical side of things first. So first of all, just a normal person who doesn't have any history of depression mm-hmm. or anything like that. Hopefully that's me. Mm-hmm. How do I make myself happier? Do I just decide it?
Okay. So first, I just want to mention that happiness, about 40% of it is within our control. So 50% of it is genetic. There's a biological basis. It's our set point. Another 10% of it is explained by the life changes. So if you've just recently gotten married or something really great has happened, then your happiness level is going to be higher than if you've just gone through a divorce or the death of a loved one. But that leaves 40% for us to play with. And there are a lot of different things that we can do to improve our happiness. Things that don't take money don't really take a lot of time. Some of these things include making time for ourselves. This is something that a lot of us struggle with, especially here in Dubai, where, you know, it's quite busy and we're overscheduled and a lot of times we're overworked. So taking a few moments for yourself to relax, do the things that you enjoy, seeing your friends, your family, being grateful for all of your blessings, relaxing, meditating, the list is endless.
What you didn't include in that sort of equation there was external circumstances. Mm-hmm. It seemed to give the impression that it was either sort of inherent or up to us. But surely most people are less happy or become unhappy because of other people, things around them,
Absolutely.
Circumstances.
Yeah, of course. So life events and other people around you can definitely affect your mood. And your happiness levels. But there is still a big, big chunk of it that we actually can control. And so if we have toxic people in our life, people that we feel drain us all the time, then that's something that we would want to visit and try to detach ourselves from, or at least find a way to make that relationship more beneficial, less draining for us.
Look, I know so many people at the lower end of the pay scale, mm-hmm. Particularly, that would be genuinely happy with a few more dirhams in their weekly or monthly pay packet. Mm-hmm. But we get so many recruitment consultants coming on here and saying it has little to do with money. It's easy to say on a consultant's salary as well.
Yes.
But what's your take on money and salary as the key to happiness?
So the thing about money and happiness is there is a relationship, but the relationship is really strong when it lifts people out of poverty. So if getting a boost in your salary is going to take you from being homeless to having a home or being able to clothe and feed your kids, then definitely it's going to boost your happiness. But for most of us, it doesn't actually have a long-lasting effect. You get a raise, you get a big bonus, you feel excited, you buy yourself something, and then you get used to it. It becomes your new normal. So money is not really linked to happiness in the long term, except for in that case that I mentioned.
So as a country, the UAE has a prescribed mission to mm-hmm. be the happiest place on earth. Is that something a government can prescribe? Is that something a government can press forward on, or is it just on an individual basis?
Well, I have to commend the government for identifying this as a key performance indicator in numerous UAE National 2020 Vision Agenda items, and they've really stepped up to the plate by appointing a Minister of State of Happiness, by having all of these consumer satisfaction centers for federal services, and by noting that certain things like social relationships are really, really key and trying to foster those. So one of the things that has happened recently, I'm sure it's been covered here on Dubai Eye and in the other media, is that the maternity leave has increased, and there is some very small, but still there's some paternity leave as well.
It makes a massive difference.
It does. Like it fosters that bond between the parent and the child. It strengthens the family relationships. And we see time and time again over a 75-year period that social relationships are the number one predictor of happiness. They're the most important things that we have. So yes, it's up to an individual, but the government certainly can do things to help make it more attainable, and
This is a slightly off-piste question here, but does marriage in general make people more or less happy?
Marriage does, on average, make people happier, but obviously that would be in a marriage that is a happy marriage, a marriage that you're happy to be a part of.
In your assessment as a psychologist, what percentage of marriages are happy?
It depends when you ask them. The first year, most of them are very, very happy. And then we see a slow decline the seventh year when it bottoms out. And then it starts to go up a little bit again.
As you resign to your fate after that.
Yeah.
There's a massive dip after you have children, I bet.
Yes, definitely. Especially when they're nursing and they have the night wakes and all of that.
Well, Sarah, we're nearly out of time. But it's been an old year, really, what with Brexit and Trump and throwing the deaths of some of my absolute musical heroes. Mm-hmm. The year could be even described as miserable, really. Mm-hmm. How do you judge 2016? Has it been an easy year in which to be happy?
It absolutely has not been an easy year. I hope for all of us that 2017 is kinder to us. Mm. But again, going back to my point about happiness being something that we can control, if we can just carve out a little bit of time and make a commitment in 2017 to make our daily lives a little bit happier, then that will eventually seep out into the community and the society and hopefully help the world to be a happier place.
Have you got any tips then how we can do that, how we can make our lives happier?
There are lots of apps that you can use.
Happiness apps.
To do some of the things we know are associated with happiness. So progressive muscle relaxation, take time with your friends and family. That's my number one tip. Be grateful for all of the things that you have. Acknowledge them. Thank people that are instrumental in your day-to-day life that make it easier, especially those who often work thankless jobs. That's a really important thing to do.
Yeah. So in other words, give credit to other people. You'll feel happier.
Definitely. And then they'll feel happier and then you'll feel happier again. So it's like this beautiful cycle of boosting happiness.
Fantastic. We'll get back to the hippie period in the 60s soon. I'm looking forward to it. Listen, thank you very much for coming in. Dr. Sarah Rasmi, psychologist and professor at UAE University in Al Ain. It's been a real pleasure to talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.